Blog Talk Radio.
It's a new thing that's sweeping the land when you don't know which way to go. The answer is Jesus and Elevation Radio.
God bless you. You're live with Elevation Radio 1. And I'm your host, Pastor Steve, Music Man Turner. And we thank you for taking the journey with us. We were not going to come on today because we have a Gospel Network double book signing party on Saturday, March 23rd. I was going to take it easy today until I had a conversation with another minister. And it prompted me to get off my lazy, rusty dusty and get to work, as the preacher said on Sunday. Time for men to get to work. And so this is why I'm here today. And so our sponsor is the effervescent, the immutable, the omnipresent. It is the Almighty God. God is the sponsor of this program. We thank him for his work. We are, again, grateful to be here today. Verse to rehearse is coming from John 21 and 15. And Christ said to Peter, breakfast, lovest thou me? And he asked him, do you love me? And he was greatly disturbed and grieved from that. He said, if you love me, feed my sheep. If you love me, feed my lambs. And I want to ask this question today. Are the leaders, whether it be in government, whether it be in church, whether it be anywhere, feeding the sheep, those who are dependent upon them for leadership and for wisdom and for those things that are necessary to make us whole. Are we being fed? Oh, my goodness. If we are, then by some means, can I call in and let us know? Are you being fed completely? Are you just getting dietary supplements? Is it just junk food? Or is it something that you can actually live off of? Oh, my goodness. And so call in at 1-914-205-5353. That's 1-914-205-5353. And so, again, are the sheep being fed? I was told of a faithful member of a church who had given approximately over $20,000 worth of tithes and general offerings over the years. But when she needed help the most, the pastor and the officials of the church said that they would pray for her, but did not pay for her not to be homeless and put up in a hotel, even a room. So what does that really mean today? Are the sheep being fed? Well, let's take a look at this, and I may have to say a prayer because this may be controversially heavy. Dear God, we thank you for this day and time. We bless you for your loving kindness and mercy. This, you're the only wise true God. We give you honor and glory. Amen. Did have a guest today. I was hoping he would be a guest. It's Elder Eddie Brown. If he doesn't call in from Harford County, he's still my friend. And Dr. Brown, I'll see you Saturday at the book signing party. But what he did drop on me resonated in my spirit. And so, doing a little research, I found out that in America, how many folks are really hungry, starving here in the land of great riches, the land of great wealth? I found out that there are 1 in 6 Americans who are hungry on a daily basis. Rather amazing that they would be, with food all around. As a matter of fact, we are probably the leading country of being overweight because we eat too much. But not everybody gets a chance to have a meal. And so according to JustFacts.com, and also it said according to CNBC, that there are over 20 million Americans who do not have enough food to eat. And that's a problem. 1 in 6 children go to bed hungry daily. And the food industry, schools, that they may feed them lunch. May 24 million may eat, but there's no, only half get breakfast. And 10% can only have food in the summertime. That's the greatest attrition level. And so, you know, what's going on? What's going on when we have agencies that are designed to feed, when we have politicians who are designed to legislate, council members and all that? What is going on when we have to have folk who are starving? And if we are hungry naturally because we have a president who is trying to shut down, there are other ways to eat as well, and that is having a roof over your head. And so when folks are on Section 8 and he wants to cut that scenario and cut that down to where you have no way to live, can maintain the basics of life. Well, I don't know about your state of the woods, your neck of the woods, or your metropolis or where you live at, but here in Baltimore, as if we have enough problems here, enough challenges here in Baltimore, we have a mayor, good God, who, my goodness, called pastors down for prayer breakfast to have them come to City Hall and sit in her presence and, I guess, bask in her glory, and ask them to help refund and repay monies for the after-school program in the city. And so yours truly was not allowed to go in, because I would have raised my hand and I asked, well, Mayor, where did the money go that you were already allotted? What happened to it? The money was spent. So she asked the pastors to put the money back in to where it was actually stolen. Misappropriated. And so I asked someone, where were the pastors going to get the money from? Were they going to get it from their personal accounts? Are they going to write a check? I heard that they actually subscribe. We'll donate so-and-so. You can count on us for so-and-so amount. But where did that money come from? And who were you speaking for? My goodness, would it be surprising to know that they ponied up money like a donation, like a marathon, like a telethon, and they promised her money, which was coming from the members who did not know that. The sheep were going to have to pay for it. Much like Trump said that Mexico would pay for the wall, and then we find out we got to pay for it if he gets it. So I don't need you to save for me my money, my income that I work hard for, that God's blessed me with, that I'm going to give money without you asking me. Something is wrong. I think sometimes members, sheep, need to be a little bit more vocal, a little bit more when it comes to abuse, a little more radical. Don't let the officials and the shepherd just run you down, run you over, especially if you're not getting fed. Now you're starving money out of my house. Something's wrong with this picture. And so that is where the money was coming from. And so here we have to look at this a little bit more in depth. That's a problem. So if we're not getting fed physically and naturally, and you can't get housing, you can't get medical assistance, and you're trying to cut Medicare, trying to cut Social Security in this day and time, what you going to lean on? If the leaders are feeding themselves, and I think the scripture says, woe to the shepherds who feed themselves and not the flock. You do not own the sheep. You are just a manager. God is the owner of the sheep. And he said quite clearly to feed, which means to take care of, to give the spiritual nourishment, the physical nourishment, to my, it's not yours. Okay, you may own them, you may look at them, you may pray for them, you may manage them, you may interact with them, you may counsel them, but they are not yours. They don't belong to you. They belong to God. And so so if we are failing on this situation, then what is it about spiritual feeding? Oh, have mercy. Spiritual feeding. I would say that, that as having been a pastor and minister and elder, that there are, you have to wonder what type of food are you actually eating? And when we don't go to Bible study, to ask questions, that's the only time you can ask questions, to learn and to really put to the test, to find out if the pastor, the teacher has actually studied a while. You know when they've studied a while. And ask certain questions and you want to know the answer, because you surely can't ask her when they're preaching messages that are not authenticated by God, that are not originated from God. Some pastors don't sit in the chair like I have, sit in the chair for 12 hours waiting on God to give me a message. Some do, some don't. Question is, do you know the difference? Or have they gone to a bookstore and gotten sermons out of a book? Well, that's fine. And from time to time, to look, if you didn't have time, you pray and ask God what it is. You know, but to live on that diet, to live on the diet of stealing other people's sermons because they had a great effect on that congregation, doesn't mean it's good for this house. Oh, mercy. Then you have to wonder, what are you being fed? And so you have to ask God for a spiritual checkup to make sure that what you have ingested spiritually is good. Is it what he ordained? Is it what he approved of? Was it just good because it felt good? Is it just good because it rubbed you the right way? You ever notice when you really haven't been fed properly? I used to do another program years ago, and I was going to do a program. It was called What's in a Name? And to ask the folks around the city, not only what church you go to, which some of them didn't know, been going there for 10 years, but pastor's name. Some of them know that, didn't know that. But a lot of them, but the other one, what did he preach on Sunday? What was the message? Where did the text come from? But they'll tell you, child, he preached. But they may even say in other terms, the Negro preached. He preached, I tell you, the fire of God fell from the upper chambers to the floor. We danced all the way out the door. Yeah, you did. And you also lightened it, you loaded your wallet. You danced the Pied Piper of the music. You dropped the load, you went into money line, you gave 1,000 here, 500 here, especially for revivals and convocations. You did all that. And what was the message and what did you get out of it? How can you survive in the following week? Trials and tests come, which come immediately. Are you able to withstand the wiles of the devil? Are you able to recognize the tricks of the trade? Ah, my goodness. And so, maybe no one's going to call in on this one. But I remember actually playing for a service years ago. And the pastor asked me, what would it take to get you to come back? And I gave him what I thought was a fair price. And he said, I'm not paying any musician that amount of money. I said, oh, my goodness, okay. But what about the prophet who came in? And between three people, he got about $3 short of $1,000. Now, to mention the offering, which had a plate for him and a plate for the church, and a play for the building fund. Yeah, I was keeping count. He said all that money that he raised from the people, the three people, the three poor people, the three single women who were struggling in the church, who were struggling in the community in East Baltimore, all that money would not go to him. So what do you mean? Where is it going to? He said some of that money is going back to the church. I said, oh, pastor, so you were saying to me that the people gave, thinking they'd given to the prophet because he prophesied a word to them that they would be blessed and have a home and have cars and I'm in somebody's kitchen, that they would be gloriously blessed. Enough a lie that they gave their rent money, they gave the BG&E money, they gave their monies for food, thinking that God's going to bless them when they just were shanghaied and tricked. And so you did a shell game, which is like a con game in the streets. And so you're taking the money, and he's going to give it back some to you, and you're going to split it. And some pastors will allow other well-known celebrity artists to come in town, not to sing. I won't mention the name, but the man's a singer, but he comes to preach. But he'll sing a song to give you a dose of it, and he'll come to preaching, and he's allowed to raise his own money that the pastor pays for the airfare, puts him up in a hotel. He can actually pay for his own, his expectations or fees, raising it off the back of the sheet. So you get excited. You get glossed over a gourmet meal, but you won't be fed sincerely from the Word of God, because he's got another motive in mind as it gets you excited to the point where you are not thinking clearly and you're emotionally impacted so that you can go in. And they have a plan. If you ever notice how the money lines work, they work so well that they are itemized down to the penny. We want 20 line and give 1,000. We want 30 to give 1,000. We want 40 to give this amount, and the rest and give this amount. And then the organist, play the music. God is not into tricks and games, and it's time out for these type of methodologies of trickery and satanic witchcraft, which bind the people and bind the sheep so that they cannot give. You spend time praising God. You spend time praying. You spend time worshiping. We spend time actually studying. How about that? How about that? How about you spend time studying and asking God for the right message to give so that the people can give because he said so? And then what about David when he came back with the Ark of the Covenant? He came back and he was so excited about having the Ark of the Covenant in the land of Philistine that he and the Levites came back and were so content and pleased that he gave a refund to the nation of Israel. When is the last time the church gave a refund to the sheep? Ooh, my goodness. Why can't you? I've heard of another gentleman came into an office where I worked at years ago, credit counseling him and his wife. He was a deacon of a big Baptist church, and he came in and he needed some help financially because when he had been in a member for 15 years, he could not, and he ran into some trouble trying to save his home. He could not actually ask the pastor to come into the meeting that they were having, and when the pastor heard what he was talking about, what he was asking for, he got up and walked out. Talking about caring for the sheep. Yeah, that don't sound too good. If I mentioned the name, you would know it instantly. However, he didn't care enough to ask the board to even go in his own pocket to help his official out who was in trouble. And so they reviewed, much like a Wells Fargo Bank loan, reviewed his record of how many times you've given tithes. When did you give them? Have you fallen off? And I guess they did an accounting report to determine whether or not qualify to get some assistance. And so, the feeding is in every aspect, from the word, which we count on most, and then it's also into the nature of the culture of the church, of the business, of the government organization. I recall going into an organization, trying to get some assistance and to move one piece of paper to put it on a file. They dangled with it for a while. It's past the time. Come back on tomorrow. And the person had to bring this piece of paper, room to come back, all the way back up here tomorrow. But I'm just asking you to take the paper and put it in the folder, which I see my name is sitting right there. Well, it's not my job. It's your job when you want to get paid. It's your job when they want to give you your benefits. It's your job when you want all the things that you want that is conducive to having a position. Same thing here when you are in the leadership with government, the leadership with the church. You want the benefits, but you don't want to do the work. Oh, have mercy. And I did argue with a friend of mine recently concerning the fact that he said that if people don't want to fully work in church, that doesn't mean they're bad people. They're still good people. I said, yeah, they're good people, but good people can go to hell too. Okay? From not working and not doing what Christ has asked them to do. Now, let's take this talent and get to work. Take this talent and start doing some things with it. And so we're focusing on leaders now. And so if the people don't really want to work, then that's a problem. You need to get them inspired, whether you are praying, asking God as a leader to help you figure it out. Pray it out, fast it out. As one official told me recently this weekend, this is why I'm doing this program, also, is that in a church, they have certain picks and certain select folk who do certain things and can get away with certain things and get a chance to do certain things while the other folk are less privileged and don't get the attention. And so they are technically, spiritually starved because they can't do certain things. And the pastor won't come to their rescue and see about them and listen to what they have to talk about. But the certain folk, they are specialized and they are privileged. Favorites. You shouldn't have favorites when you have children. You shouldn't have favorites when you're dealing with as a pastor. You should treat everybody the same. And understand some folks are good. And some folks are, you know, maybe you can count on them as a right hand, part of the inner circle. But you should not, knowing that these are not your sheep, you should never put one above the other. It always comes back to bite you. And so the person said to me, an official, that he has favorites. And so what this produces is when this person does something and they have their friends, it produces a click. And the word click, C-L-I-Q-U-E, is a gang term. It's in the street that actually came out of the church. I say a good pastor, especially of a church that's growing, should be able to dissect the click real fast. He should be able to see folk not wanting to sit together, not wanting to fellowship together, not speaking to each other. And he should stop it before it really gets started. A good pastor should be able to do that because you cannot have a fellowship in disharmony. So you got to cut it before you get started. I wish I had a caller or somebody who had something to say, whether it be endorsing or not, at 1-914-205-5353. Let's take a commercial break. Matter of fact, let me get a little fancy with it here. One second here. As we do our commercial break here. All right. Starting March 23rd. That's the ceremony. That's what I just said. And one number one. Collins Heath and Farrell would have the Gospel Network Double Silent Party Day. Double Silent Party.
You've been there.
Only $20. Looking for change.
For me.
There. All right.
All
questions, let's go. Pull one out. 302.
Yes, you can.
Let's enjoy this gospel.
Can't stop loving you. Oh, no. And if for real, what I feel.
Oh, yeah, what I feel is for real.
You save me. And you raised me. You kept me.
Come on, come
on. Through the years. Oh, yeah. Lord, I thank you for all you've done. Oh, yeah. Never, ever change. So incredible you are to me. Oh yeah, you're with me. Oh, for all you've done.
Certain worship, some God.
Yeah. What about Muhammad?
Nah. What about the Pope?
Pope?
I'm sorry. Sun Young Moon. How about him?
Sun Young Moon.
Listen, there's so many guys. I don't know who to start worshiping.
What about Jesus? Yeah. What about Jesus?
Oh yeah. Come on, clap your hands. Yeah. Lord, keep my hands that I might serve and worship you. Everybody say,
Lord, keep my hands
that I might
serve and worship you.
Ooh,
Lord, keep my hands,
yes, sir,
that I might serve and worship you.
Serve and worship you.
Serve and worship you.
In the house also would be
come on, yeah,
here we go, I'm so good,
yeah, soul music,
the foundation of God, billions of years, the hard work paid off. The love of life is a blessing. Educate yourself and you see that you're destined to achieve what you want to be. Take those stands. Your life is priceless. Feel like a billionaire. Know that you're a child of God. And since you're a God, this love ain't hard to receive. So take your breath and be blessed and know that the love of God is at your doorstep. A whole wide world to explore. You can be like Nas. The world is yours. Take a walk outside and watch the sunset. You want to feel the love of God? How hot does the sun get? God's great, God's good. I can feel the love of God in the neighborhood. Love so good.
Can't get you too spoiled. God bless you. That recording artist would be at the house on Saturday, the double book signing, the Gospel Network. Yours truly, Lamar. CDs will be sold. Actually, Restoration 2017 will be sold at the double book signing party. And books, The Other Pulpit, written by yours truly, and Stormproof, the brand new book, collection of sermons for those who are suffering. We'll be at the table where my wife will be collecting the ticket money. God bless you. You will get appetizer buffet. You will get one book of your choice. And also, you will get networking opportunities. Talk about your business. Talk about your church events at the Double Book Signing Gospel Network Party. Listen, if you have not been fed, if you have not been properly nourished, you can come out Saturday and get the nourishment food that you need. You'll also be able to have your business promoted so that you can feed your family, and you'll hear a word of encouragement. See some books that will encourage you and let you know that God has not forgotten you. And if you don't have a good shepherd, God will personally see to it that he fixes that problem, because you belong to him and not to anybody else. You are not anybody else's property. You're not anybody else's meal ticket. You are the sheep that God loves so much that he died for it. Don't you think that he will let you die and go to hell because you connected with the wrong shepherd? God will correct that problem. So be encouraged. Be encouraged, my friend. And look for us on social network. Look for us on Facebook. Go to the Gospel Network Double Book Signing Party event page and the Stephen Turner Ministries Facebook page and Elevation Radio. If you'd like to be a sponsor, you can come to us at www.elevationradio1.info. Otherwise than that, listen, God is on the throne. God is eternal. God has got your soul in his mind. You need to take proactiveness. And if you're not being fed, ask God to direct your path and direct your footsteps. And get up out of there and run somewhere where God can feed you and sustain you so you can feed others. That's the purpose of it. So you can feed others because we're all ministers. And ministers serve and feed. That's what we do, baby. You need to start doing that. All right. God bless you. This has been an Elevation Radio One moment. God bless you.